Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. Listen for the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Here ends the reading. And then the second passage is from Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. Hear the word of the Lord. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' When they also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amal crouched outside the doorway for quite a while before summoning enough courage to enter the school in Juba, South Sudan. Shyly, the girl sidled over to mission co-worker Lisa Wagstaff, who was sitting at a desk, and softly whispered into Lisa's ear the deepest yearning of her heart. "I want school," she said. "I want school." This 10-year-old child was not asking for a toy or new clothes or money or even food. She wanted an education. In her short life, full of violence and displacement, a lack of opportunities and sometimes basic necessities, and with far too few happy childhood memories, Amal understands all too well that for her future life to be different, she needs to go to school. For as Nelson Mandela once said, education is the most powerful weapon we can use to change the world. Last month, I traveled to Minneapolis with Reverend Dr. Diane Moffitt, who is the new executive director of the Presbyterian Mission Agency, my boss. And while leading a workshop and preaching over Martin Luther King weekend, Diane described a vision that has emerged out of the last two General Assemblies for the Presbyterian Church USA to become a Matthew 25 church. Through the process of approval of overtures from a number of presbyteries, General Assembly encouraged our denomination to engage in the very kinds of ministries described in the passage that we just heard, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and visiting the imprisoned. The General Assembly also approved a new mission plan directing us, the mission agency, to focus our ministries in the future by particularly working in the areas of poverty, racism, and congregational vitality. When did I offer you food or clothing? When did I visit you in prison? They asked Jesus. When you did it for the poorest, for the most discriminated against, and the most vulnerable of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me, says Jesus. Jesus is preparing to leave this earth. And through this parable, he is teaching his followers, telling his followers how to continue the work that he has started. His ministry of reaching out to those most in need of God's love, God's compassion, and God's presence. Not long ago, I read a book called The Nazareth Manifesto by Samuel Wells, in which he claims that the most important word in the entire Bible is with. W-I-T-H. He says that this four-letter word, with, describes the heart of God, the very essence of God, as well as the nature of God's purpose and plan for humanity. According to Wells, all God wants, all God has ever wanted, is to be with us. And that desire for relationship is described over and over again in Scripture. In the act of creation, in God's call to Abraham, "I will be with you," God tells Moses. And then in the covenant at Sinai, God promises to be with the Israelite people always. During the Babylonian exile, God's chosen people in some ways experience God more in exile than they did back in the Promised Land. You can hear it in the words that they wrote during that time. "Do not fear, for you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." even though I walk through the darkest valley. I fear no evil, for you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Likewise, in our New Testament, Wells writes, Jesus' incarnational ministry is, above all else, about being with us in every aspect of our humanity, in pain and in glory, in sorrow and in joy, in quiet and in conflict, in death and in life. The word that sums up all four Gospels is with. In Matthew, for example, we go from "He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us," to "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And in between those, we hear, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them." In today's passage, Jesus explains how he is with us in the faces of those whom we serve in his name. The hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the imprisoned, the least, the lost, the left behind. A pastor named Kevin Fleming points out that throughout the Gospels and then also into the Acts of the Apostles, we see the gradual passing of Jesus' mission on to his disciples, so that what becomes of Jesus' story, his message, and his ministry is given into their care and keeping. After Jesus ascends to heaven, God's Holy Spirit comes to be with them and in them, in the disciples, at Pentecost, empowering them to continue Jesus' work. And in our baptisms, of course, we too have been given that assignment and that empowerment by the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like to continue Jesus' work? It is being with others as God is with us, with people living in poverty that they can never seem to lift themselves out of, or people who are struggling within systems that were built upon racial discrimination. It's offering our participation, our partnership, and our presence. Or as Teresa of Avila once said, Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands which with he blesses all the world. Reverend James McQuay serves as the executive director of the Presbyterian Relief and Development Agency, or PRDA, which is the humanitarian arm of the Presbyterian Church of South Sudan, who have been our partners for over a century. The PRDA serves in a similar way that our Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, PDA, serves as a ministry of our denomination. So Reverend McQuay came to the U.S. last year and traveled around our denomination to presbyteries and churches, describing honestly and sometimes rather graphically the current situation in South Sudan. He described a people who have experienced decades, generations of conflict, so that more than 60% of the population is displaced, either internally or in neighboring countries, and are struggling to find food. He also described a country full of boys and girls like Amal, who need and desire an education. I want to briefly describe how your denomination, through the Presbyterian Mission Agency, with your support, is serving with our South Sudanese sisters and brothers. In some cases, physically there in country, and in also in other ways, walking alongside them in an incredibly complex and challenging religious and social and political context, partnering with them with God, what God is doing in their midst. Of course, Presbyterian disaster assistance is there, funding large-scale emergency relief projects through PRDA to help alleviate the suffering and support livelihoods and address food insecurity. While he was in the U.S., Reverend McQuay also visited our Presbyterian ministry at the UN in New York. Some people don't even know we have an office in New York, where he and Director Ryan Smith met with the South Sudanese UN representatives to advocate for peace and to advocate for safe access for humanitarian aid workers. In our Office of Public Witness in Washington, D.C., and the Peacemaking Program in Louisville, they also work to raise awareness of South Sudan's needs among our congressional representatives and to advocate for political steadiness and an end to the armed conflict, all to bring some sense of stability back to South Sudan. At the moment, a signed peace agreement is in place, and we are praying with all our might that it holds so that all of the displaced people can come back home and that the country can begin to heal. Presbyterian Mission also has a number of mission co-workers serving in South Sudan, seeking to be with our partners in faith and in life. They work with the Church of South Sudan and other global partners to develop Christ-centered peace-building programs and to support theological education. They work to help remedy the marginalization of women and children and to improve health conditions. They train South Sudanese people to dig and maintain wells and sanitation systems. And Lisa Wagstaff, whom I mentioned earlier, she's the one in the upper right-hand corner. She has been in South Sudan for the past 6 or 7 years, helping our partners develop primary and secondary schools and train teachers so that children like Amal can get the education they so desperately want and need for their future. The thing is, being with is the basis of all Presbyterian mission. We do mission in partnership, which means that it is not something we go and do for or to other people, but we all of our mission co-workers, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, the Hunger Program, they all serve at the invitation of our partners to help them address critical needs that the partners have identified. And rather than simply addressing the symptoms, they work together to develop long-term solutions. And this can all happen because of your support. Your act of financially coming alongside allows us as a denomination to be with our sisters and brothers in South Sudan and in more than 60 other countries around the world as the hands and feet and eyes of compassion of the God who loves them and wants to be present with them. Now, according to Lisa Wagstaff, little Amal is now in school, and she even has a uniform and socks and shoes and a notebook and pen. Lisa writes, Amal is studying well. respects her teachers, enjoys playing with the other students, and is never late for school. The South Sudan Education and Peacebuilding Project, which you support, and our partners there, want to make it possible for all children in that country to have a quality education. Lisa points out that for this to be possible, all the components needed have to be present. Things that so many of us in this country just take for granted. Peaceful coexistence in communities. You can't learn if there is gunfire going on around you in your community. Solid school management, and we're training teachers and principals. Basic teaching and learning aids, paper, pens, books, desks. Strong parental involvement, which we are also doing training for that. Food and water. Water is very important. You can't expect kids to go to school all day without water. And the sanitation systems, toilets, especially for girls, are a very necessary part of having a school. Shelter from the sun and rain during class time. Many of the students are literally sitting under a tree with their teacher having school. And psychosocial support. The population is deeply traumatized, and so we are also working with folks to assist in that capacity as well. And of course, our prayers. Our prayers are a very important component of our mission in South Sudan. So by supporting Presbyterian Mission, you are walking along with Amal and her family and her community, impacting change for generations to come. So the upcoming season of Lent is a good time for all of us to consider the important ministry to which we as Christ's disciples have been called. His work is now our work. In John's Gospel, the word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit is paraclete, which is a Greek word that literally means to come alongside another. As he is lifted up in the clouds in John, Jesus promises to send the paraclete, the one who comes alongside us to encourage, equip, strengthen, and comfort us so that we can come alongside others. Jesus, when did we offer you food or drink or clothing? When did we visit you in sickness or while you're in prison? When you walk alongside the poorest, the most discriminated against, and the most vulnerable of my brothers and sisters, Jesus says, you walk alongside me. Thanks be to God. Amen.